People killing, people dying, children hurting, I hear them crying. Could you practice what you preach? Would you turn the other cheek?
Is that fine? Keep on going. Yeah. Oh. I thought you were going to do yours. I thought
you were going to do yours. People killing, people dying, children hurting, I hear them crying. Could you practice what you preach? Would you turn the other cheek? Father, 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 help us, and some guidance from above. Because people got me questioning, where is the love?
That's a nice song. Yeah. I haven't heard it in a while. No, mm-hmm. And the lyrics are strong. I remember those lyrics. Totally, man.
I like that
Thanks
song.
So much, Matt, for opening up the show.
Yeah.
Relatively painless, no?
Yeah, yeah. For sure.
That's actually not bad for being put on the spot right there.
Well, that happens a lot, being put on the spot, even though people are like, I watch the show all the time. And I'm like, well, you missed a part where everyone sings at the beginning for the most part.
Yeah.
That's just how it is.
I wish everyone was singing with me.
We break the ice, man. Simple as that. Pat, welcome back, man.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Last time you were here, you were on the round table.
We were talking about generators. We had Pato and Pato Captain America.
His apprentice. Yeah, and Captain then we had America. Carlo here and we had you here.
Yeah.
And I love that show because you guys were genuinely offering up Pato's apprentice a lot of valuable, really valuable information, man.
Yeah, that's one of the things, I like to do is just like, I focus more on apprentices than in anything and like getting them through the trade. You know what I mean? Because, like, when I went through the trade,
it wasn't there for you.
No, Instagram wasn't there. Facebook was just starting up. And when I went through the trade, it was like, I remember asking one of my journeymen a question. And he's like, go to school and learn.
That was the reply.
That was the reply, man. Literally, go to school and learn. That's exactly what he said.
Isn't the job site school?
It is, but there's a part where, like, and I've told Matt a whole bunch of times where... Yeah, this is school, but you're an electrician. You have to learn on the side too, right? Like we have code books, you have books on theory. You need to like learn this on the side too, like, you know what I mean? It's just like nobody's going to allow you to sit there at work and sit there and just read.
No, it's the homework. It's the job site homework.
Yeah. So if you want to excel at it, if you just want to be on I've always said it, there's two things in this trade. You're an installer or you're an electrician. Pick one. You want to be an installer? Go somewhere else. You want to be an electrician? I could teach you to be an awesome electrician. You know what I mean? And that's what I focus on, right?
We're going to have a good talk. I know that when I reached out, I was like, get on. I got to get you on the show. And then you didn't want to talk about business. You want to talk about apprentices.
Yes.
The world of apprentices.
Yeah.
You young guys.
Yeah.
You newcomers into the industry, right? So we're going to get into it. Let me just share information. You can find Pat on IG under Davidsons_electrical. His email is info@davidsonselectrical.ca. And then his website is www.davidsonselectrical.ca. That's Davidsons with an S. And then his phone number, because he's more than willing, and he always does this, 416-859-1159. You got a question, reach out to him. That's as simple as that.
Yeah, especially if... I always tell people you have an issue. Other contractors too. You have an issue with a generator. Don't hesitate to, you know what I mean? If I can help you, I can help you over the phone while your guy's there. I'll FaceTime you right then and there. I'll walk you through you know what I mean? Especially I'm more geared towards Generac than anything, but an engine's an engine's an engine.
What's your hourly rate to teach?
I actually don't. Zero, you know what I mean?
For a 5-minute phone call, you mean?
I get paid.
I'm joking. I know. But that's what we're supposed to be doing, man. We are. And you're going to do it.
No, but he does,
Matt,
help out a lot of people on the phone. And it's, you know, like your time is money and he's got a lot of knowledge. So
one day I might slide over into teaching, but I don't know. I enjoy on the tools. I enjoy, you know what I mean? It keeps me young. It keeps me semi young. You know what I mean? Like most of my coworkers have always been in the age gap of 20 to 25. You know what I mean? And then they go off and they do something else.
Let me do a quick shout out here. Matt Constructions Inc. Matt Constructions Inc. I'm wearing his tee today. He's just always pouring self-leveling every single day. That's what he's always doing. Mm. He loves it.
Yeah.
He's foremost one of the experts out there that does it, which is great. So good guy. He was actually at a couple of recent shows. And then I didn't get a chance to bump into him. But introducing the new Aircool 26 RCA. The quietest, most powerful, and most durable generator with 109 amps max power on liquid propane. Equipped with the first-to-market low-oil shutoff switch, it's the quietest 26 kilowatt on the market with a 56 dB at exercise. The 89% larger ceramic fiberglass insulated muffler and acoustic foam insulated inlet duct deliver the best sound quality on the market at exercise. Its larger muffler reduces back pressure by 62%, eliminating restrictions in exhaust to optimize pressures for peak performance. Its CH1006 engine with 20% higher compression ratio and variable ignition timing optimized by fuel delivers the most power in its class. It's also equipped with advanced engine tuning with an air cleaner assembly relocated directly over the carburetor, which optimizes airflow to deliver enhanced performance. When it comes to reliability, nothing beats a Kohler home generator. Get the facts and find your generator at Effect Electric Limited on IG. Contractors, it's time to empower your business with Shelta Tech implementation. Shelta is offering a free meeting to tackle your biggest pain points head on. Their goal, to develop a custom company app that's built just for you, solving your pain points, streamlining your processes, making your workday smoother. Here's the scoop. There's a $15,000 digital adoption grant available, and Shelta is an expert at helping you secure it. This isn't just funding. It's your stepping stone into a new era of digital efficiency. By your second meeting, you'll get a tailor-made company playbook, a software prototype designed with your input, project tracking, real-time budget management, and daily logs, all integrated into a single app. It's tech that works for you, not the other way around. Shelta isn't just offering tech. They're offering transformation. Join the community of 93 subcontractors who have already stepped up their game with Shelta Tech. Two meetings, countless opportunities, ready to make a move? Visit shelta.app. Let's pave the way to smarter, tech-driven future. Shelta Technology, custom tech solutions for the modern contractor. CCS Engineering and Construction for everything. From dental and medical office renovations to commercial construction and complete home remodeling, they do it all. CCS has in-house experts that will make your next project feel effortless. Their streamlined process ensures efficiency and outstanding project quality. From your initial design to your final vision, CCS will see your project through from start to finish. CCS serves clients across Ontario. Join the growing CCS family today. Visit ccsengcon.com or call 226-499-2CCS to schedule a consultation. CCS Engineering Construction for everything. Do you dread the office? Are you spending your personal time on paperwork? Join the club. The good news is there's a solution that isn't hard or overwhelming. With SyncedUp's estimating and job tracking software, you can plan for it and hit your profit goals all while cutting your estimating time by up to 90%. Do you know where your money is going? Are you sure you're even making money? SyncedUp will show you exactly where your money is going with its simple budgeting tool, revealing those cash leaks so you can take back control of your business. Do you wonder if all those payroll hours are making you money or costing you money? SyncedUp tracks your unbillable labor, helping you optimize for project efficiency and ensuring each job is profitable. At SyncedUp, they're here to help contractors thrive, not just survive. Get a budgeting consultation with a SyncedUp expert looking over your shoulder to help you optimize your company's budget for free using the link in the show notes. If you love what you see, you can use the TCL discount and get 20% off on your first 6 months. Annual plan is required. Just click on the link in the show notes to book your call with the sales team and mention the TCL podcast. Check out SyncedUp.com and at SyncedUp on IG to level up your business. Are you looking for a sustainable and durable real wood solution to elevate your next project? Let me introduce you to the gold standard. Thermery, the world's largest and most trusted manufacturer of thermally modified wood and sauna materials. Their wood is like the superhero version of regular wood, stronger, more stable, and ready to take on whatever Mother Nature throws its way. With a wide range of thermally modified wood products from decking and cladding to sauna and statement walls, when you choose Thermery, you're not just investing in quality, you're investing in the health of our planet too. Join countless architects, designers, builders, and homeowners who have trusted Thermery to bring their vision to life. The best way to fully experience the Thermery difference is to hold the real thing in your hands, so visit their website today at www.thermeryusa.com and also find them on IG at ThermeryUSA. So on today's show, how did you guys first meet?
You reached out to him? Yeah, well, I went and knocked on his door.
At home?
Yeah.
You stalked him?
Yep.
Okay.
No, I searched up the address or electrical companies near me, and then found Davidson's Electrical, went up, knocked on his door. He was actually away in Quebec, I think, visiting family. His wife answered, gave my resume, and then I think it was like the week after or something I started working.
Do you get that a lot?
What's that?
People coming by and dropping off their resume? Yep.
A lot.
Really?
I get a lot of people's kids calling me up too and asking me about the trade and stuff like that. So there's a lot of times at the end of my day, like I'll call a kid back and then I'll just walk him to the trade. And then he'll, I had one kid, my wife will laugh at this story too. I had one kid come by in a suit and tie and drop off his resume. And I was like, come to the garage for a second. So we went down to the garage and I basically, my wife thought I was she thought I went it too far because I'm like, dude, lose the suit, lose the shoe. You know what I mean? Tie your hair back, get some Carhartts, dress for the job you want.
Yeah.
Right? I kind of walk him through it just the same way I walked through every kid. The kid came back the very next day just to see, like, because
it's called a fit check.
Yeah.
A fit check.
Just to see, just to show me what he was wearing. And he came by to my house and he goes, is this okay to go around? And I'm like, yeah, dude. I go, just relax, man. I'm like, just, you know what I mean? I go, but what your parents told me, because his parents were into like the corporate world and they told him like, you gotta, dress to impress and stuff like that. I'm like, you're in fucking construction, man. Like, you don't dress like that. Like, I remember.
But he left an impression.
Especially coming back the next day.
Coming back the next day.
Yeah.
And I remember, I couldn't tell you his name though.
Yeah.
But I remember going before I got into this trade, I went to become a mechanic. So I went to a mechanic shop and I was actually wearing a suit and tie because I was a young, stupid kid and I was like dressed to impress, right? This guy looked me up and down three times. He's like, you don't want this job. And I'm like, no, I do. He goes, no, you don't.
Based on your appearance.
Hand my resume back. He's like, just get out. And I left, and I was just thought about it afterwards. You know what I mean? If you're going to go and you want to become an electrician or if you want to become a forming guy, dress how they're dressing.
Show up.
Show up like you want to work that day. You know what I mean? I tell every kid, too, you want a guaranteed job. Make sure that guy doesn't even know you have a cell phone. Bring a pen and write on your hand. You know what
That's
I mean?
Even better.
Bring a pen and just write on your hand whatever he tells you and make him think that you don't own a cell phone.
How old are you, Matt?
24.
How long have you been in the game now?
Like a year, 2 years almost.
What were you doing before that?
I was working at Tire Discounter Group, just a tire distributor.
Okay. Yeah. All right. What, sales or on the phone or?
No, in the warehouse, yeah.
In the warehouse. So you're pulling tires?
Yeah.
And orders and stuff like that?
Yeah.
And then where'd you get the bug for being an electrician?
I have a few buddies who are in the trade. Moses, who Pat knows, very nice guy. And, you know, I thought if he can do it, I think I can do it too. So, yeah.
What's the perception of your generation about the trades?
Well, in high school, it was like, you know, the kids who were at the smoker's pit and everything.
Those are the trades?
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't have a good perception when I was in high school. Like, I mean, all those kids were the ones who were doing the co-ops and stuff and going into the trades and everything. And then once I got out of high school, I realized it's not like that at all. Like, yeah.
Was it the same for you too, Pat, back then in high school days?
Well, I knew from a very young age, I actually wanted to become a carpenter.
Okay.
Okay. I remember telling my parents that I was going to get into like a trade. I was going to become a carpenter. And they were dead set against it. They were
for
like,
for what reason?
They wanted me to be in the corporate world. Okay. So they were dead set against it. And then just as I was leaving high school, that's when my mom died. And then just, I was kind of lost in my life. And then I just to appease my father, I actually went to Sheridan College right here. I went to Sheridan College for a few years.
For business or something?
For marketing.
Marketing. Okay.
And then I remember the guy who was just like, and I just never fit in there. And I remember the guy was like, my marketing teacher's talking about like shampoo that doesn't make you cry. And he's like, what is this saying? Look, mom, no tears. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, fuck this shit. I grabbed my bag. I threw it over my shoulder. I start walking out. He's like, Mr. Davidson, where are you going? And I'm like, to the bathroom. And he goes, with your backpack? And I'm like, yep. And he goes, all right, enjoy your life. And I'm like, okay, I will.
Enjoy your life.
And I left.
And fuck your shampoo.
Basically. I'm like, this guy, I'm like, I'm going to get into the world of bullshit if I stay here.
Yeah.
Like the total world of bullshit.
They're educating you how to bullshit.
Oh, and then when I took up the trade, man, and I got in the first company, and I'm like, it's all Italians and some Portuguese and... You know what I mean? I was like the only cake in there. Maybe the newfie was there. And then it was like me, were the only two cakes in
there. Were you razzed because of that?
Oh, fuck yeah.
I know.
Dude, I fucking went through the ringer because of that. And then...
Did you think if you picked up a few of the words that you might fit in?
Oh, there was one time, actually. There was like, I don't know, you know Royal Pine Homes?
Yeah.
You know, Frank Caragiale, okay. He only used to own Royal Pine. He would only allow people that are Italian to work on his house. He didn't find out for a year that I was Italian. Because he goes, you're not Italian. Because he asked me where I'm from.
North, eh?
And I'm like, well, I'm from here. He goes, hey, your parents, where are they from? And I'm like... Well, my dad's from Cape Breton and my mom's from Victoriaville.
What part of Italy is that?
Yeah, he was like, you know, he goes, you're not Italian? I'm like, no.
Macedonian.
He goes, but the way you die, I'm like, oh, my mother's French Canadian. That's why we talk like that. That's why I talk with my hands a lot, right? Because my mother's French Canadian. And the French, that's the way they talk. And then,
was his face just dropped when he realized?
Yeah, he was just non-Italian. He didn't care afterwards.
Well, because you were doing the work.
Well, I was doing really, really good work for him, right? So. I remember he had a Ferrari parked in his garage. I was coming out of the attic, and my pliers were hooked right here.
No.
Dude, they came out, no. Dropped right next to the Ferrari, and my heart just went.
You would have been escorted out of the property.
Dude, I was scared shitless when that happened.
Oh, shit, eh? That must have been the slowest dropping pliers ever in the world, eh?
Yeah. Watching it go, yeah.
I was maybe a third-year apprentice at the time, second-year apprentice, and that happened. And I just saw it, like, drop, like, here's the Ferrari door drop, like, right here, you know?
What's it like for you, though? You coming on the job site now, because even when I got in 15 years ago, the stereotypes weren't there. It's like the classic Italians are doing concrete or brick, yeah. Portuguese, same thing, too. But now it's like everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody and anybody that's going into the trades.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what it is, right?
Yeah. It's especially a little bit different from Matt, too, because, like, we work a lot at Dufferin County, right?
Okay.
So, like, construction up there, there's a lot of Canadian, you know what I mean?
It's not as diverse.
Yeah, it's not as diverse, right? Whereas, like, I did my whole apprenticeship through...
In the city.
Yeah, through Woodbridge, you know what I mean? Like, going down to Woodbridge, you know what I mean? And that's what I thought construction was, like...
Is Woodbridge still like that? No, Woodbridge is changing,
I haven't been down to Woodbridge in a while.
Woodbridge is changing, and I just keep on seeing more and more towers being built in Woodbridge, so it's just like they're bringing in more and more people.
Yeah.
It's probably the fastest-growing city in Canada now or something.
Really?
I'm assuming. I'm just guessing.
The last time I was there, it was like, I don't know, a year ago, and I was there briefly, so... But yeah, like I went through my whole apprenticeship. It was Vaughan Electric, O'Neill Electric. That's where I would go. You know what I mean? I'd go down to the shop every day, and then you know what I mean? There was a few big guys for electrical contractors, like, you know, the one I worked for was Tron. Okay. And then there was like Pine Valley, yep. There was TAM and what do you call it? Discovery. I think they became Galmar. World became Discovery, or Discovery became World. I can't remember which one it was.
So what is it that you saw in Matt, or do you always see something interesting in everybody that approaches you?
I actually didn't want to hire the kid.
At first?
Even Jill said it. She's like, yeah, kid's going to come back. You're not going to like him. She goes...
She's the vetting? Is that what it is?
Yeah, she was just like, I don't think you're going to like him.
And what was the reason? I'm just curious.
Look at his earrings. He has earrings everywhere, right?
So what?
And I was just like, you know.
You never had an earring in your youth?
I did.
I definitely did.
I had three,
but then
man.
when I met him, Matt is actually, if you get to know Matt, Matt is actually the nicest person you'll ever meet in your life.
What is the perception of a man wearing earrings today?
I don't know.
I think they're very blingy.
Which one on that side?
You got two loops on that side.
Oh no, he had.
What's on the other side? What's on the left side?
When he met me, he had like these big rocks there. Yeah, he hit the big rocks.
Like Zirconian or what?
Pink or something. Pink rocks, I don't know.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I never really picked up a tool. I had like no construction background, nothing before working for Pat.
But at the tire shop, though?
No.
Building racks or anything like that? Or
yeah, maybe with like, but no drills or nothing. They would just sit on top of each other.
Nothing at home?
No, not
much. What do
your
folks do?
My dad, he's just an entrepreneur. He does a lot of stuff.
No tinkering.
Owns buildings and stuff like that. My mom's a teacher. And yeah, no one else is in the trade in my family.
Matt's like, from when I met him, this dude is like 180. Like, when I met him, no mechanical ability whatsoever. There's some days right now he'll hand me my ass on the trade.
Not often, but when we're going,
like he'll do some installs that may trump me.
You're doing homework on the end? Is that why you're picking up stuff or you just?
Just working and just the compound effect, you know, every day showing up and putting in the work and then.
Do you hate it?
No. Do I hate work? No.
The trade, electrical?
No.
Do you hate the stereotype of electricians?
Or you never heard it? You don't sweep broom, you don't sweep up stuff?
Yeah.
We clean up everywhere.
Yeah, I don't see that stereotype. I mean, I don't think it's maybe for some companies they don't do that, but I mean, with Pat, it's been, you know, you always clean up after yourself. You always do the shit that people don't think you're going to do.
So how long have you been working together?
Almost 2 years now, maybe. Yeah.
And
maybe
you can only really bring on one, right?
Yeah. And getting back to like when I first met him, the reason why is because, like I said, he is the nicest guy you'll ever meet in your life. And right off the bat, he's very polite, this and that. And I'm like, and I wasn't even looking for an apprentice at the time. And I was like, you know what? I don't know why. I was just like, yeah, he deserves a shot. And then the first week, I thought I was going to let him go because of his mechanical ability. He had no natural.
You can teach that.
Well, that's what I was getting at. I was like the first week, I'm like, I don't think. And I was telling my wife, I'm like, I don't think it's going to work out. Whatever. And then it was just like, I think it was the attic thing. The first time I sent him in the attic, right?
What happened in the attic?
He came right back down. He's like, yeah, I can't get through it, blah, blah, blah.
I don't know what happened. I poked my head up in there and it felt to me like it was a really tight attic. And I was like, yeah, you know, like, I can't do this. Like, Pat, I'm so sorry, but.
Hindsight, you realize that all attics are like that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But for me, it's like, it was like riding a bike. You know what I mean? Like, I knew the next time he asked me to get in the attic, there was no hesitation. I got up in there, and now it's like, whatever, I'll go in anywhere. And
dude, he's got an attic where I couldn't even fathom that he got. He's like, you know what I mean? He's like a little mouse up there now where he can, and he goes through an attic. And that's why I say, like, some days he shows me up because he'll get through somewhere where I'm like, Matt, maybe we'll just have to cut a hole. And he's like, oh, I'll just get up there for a second. And he'll get it to the spot that I'm like, how'd you even get there? You know what I mean? So it went from like he was one. It's just like, you know, like don't judge a book by its cover.
Yep.
And he's like that every day. He's like, it's just like every day is just like he'll get better and better. Right. So it's kind of like I'm glad that there was a couple guys that came through here that I was like hesitant to hire. Those were always the guys, to be honest with you. And I should probably learn my lesson. Those were always the guys that I was just like, when you see them after a while, it's like I'm glad that I just kind of didn't listen to myself. Mm. You know what I mean?
I think it's hard now, too, for, like, young kids to, like, get someone to take a chance on them.
What's the fear coming from your generation?
I don't think it's a fear. I think it's with the older people who own the company. They don't want to take a risk on training someone or, you know, taking a hunch on
someone. What's the risk? You're going to lose money or you're going to lose time? Which is worse?
Time.
I've always tried to give somebody the benefit of the doubt. Like, unless like a lot of people when they come up, like I've never had a shop. I've always worked out of my house, right? So usually people are coming to my house and I have my shop is my garage. So I have a desk in my garage and stuff like that. And I just basically give them a little bit of a test, right? You know what I mean? I have a couple tools on the desk. Usually I'm just like, grab that for a second. I want to see how they grab a tool, right? Or, you know what I mean? If they tell me they got some electrical experience, I usually have a meter sitting on the desk. And I'm like,
read it.
There's a plug right there. Yeah. You know, show me where you'd measure voltage from. Show me what you do with this, right? But, like, as long as they're not, like, a fall-down fuck, they get a shot. You know what I mean? Like, even like we have ratio, right? Like, we have 1-to-1 ratio. But if like somebody's kid wanted to come job shadow for a day, right, we still bring them out. You know what I mean?
You get, because you can do that. They can just check it out and see what's going on.
Yeah, and they come out, and I give them a shot, and I'm like, you know, just to see the real life of an electrician, right? So
is it exactly what you thought? No, it's not, because when you were first thinking, the stigma was there.
Yeah, there's a misconception.
And then when you got into it, you're like, that's nothing what everybody was talking about.
Yeah, he thought he was going to change light bulbs and put on switchblades.
No, but you the big misconception is that, like, you know, you think it's the kids who don't do good in school that go into the trades. But that's not really the case.
Like, it was the case.
Pat's one of the smartest guys I know in the electrical industry. And, you know,
there's a lot of thought process behind electrical trades.
It's not like you have to be smart to do it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now you're teaching that to other friends of yours.
Yeah, I guess so.
Are they considering it, or they're trying to find their Pat?
Like, in the last month, I've had like two people ask me if they should get into electrical, or like how and whatever they can get in. And, you know, I always recommend like dropping off a resume in person, doing that. And then Pat's always said that, like, if you can't get a job in the electrical industry right now, or with an electrical contractor, go to like Ideal Supply or
CES or so Gillivan or whatever, and get a job with them. Just get in the industry.
Was your resume scented with cologne and had a photograph of you?
No. I think I keep my resume to one.
I'm seeing some of that shit, Pat.
Really?
I'm seeing some of that shit for other industries, and I'm like, this actually fucking works. I don't understand.
So, to be honest with you, and I've told kids this before, I don't read resumes. I will never read.
That's what I'm trying to get at. So what was your resume at that time? It was a tire service. But yeah. What else was there? Just ambitions, I guess, interests, hobbies.
I'd worked at like restaurants and stuff my whole life.
So customer service ability.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I kind of like, through my dad, like I've been able to like, I put on my resume. I don't know. He didn't read it, obviously, but I had like, I think more of like a business mindset than like a employee mindset, you know, like everything you do is for the company. It's not for yourself. Like, I'm not there getting paid per the hour or whatever. I'm there with the mindset that we have the job to do together, and this is our job.
What's the majority of your generation thinking that I need to get this job because I heard that if I'm an electrician, I finally get licensed, I'll make a lot of money? Or is it the mindset of like, I can learn a lot of shit that's going to benefit me in my life?
I think it's the money.
That's the majority, yeah?
I
agree
think
with
so.
You. I totally agree with you.
I don't think there's, yeah. I think it's more about the money than anything else. But like, for me, it's not about the money at all. I don't work for the money. And because I think that obviously the learning that I will get is more than the money that I'll ever need, you know? That'll go further in life. The knowledge will go further in life than the money that I will
see. All of this,
a lot of people are going to hear this podcast right now, right? And they're going to basically be like, that guy's full of shit. Of course, it's about the
money.
They're
going to say
that. Everybody's going to say that. I can tell you 100%, because of how I know Matt, 110%, he's absolutely telling the truth. Mm-hmm. When he comes to work, the last thing on his mind is money. So one of the things, too, is we've always paid every Monday, right? So we've always taken care of that off the top. You don't have to worry about ever getting paid here. You will get paid Monday. You work the week, you come in on Monday, your check's hanging up there. So don't worry about the money here. That's already taken care of. And whatever you're supposed to be getting at this term, we pay a bit more. You know what I mean? Because I don't want that in your mind ever when you're working here is, am I going to get paid? Blah, blah, blah. Let me worry about that. I don't even worry about that. Actually, my wife worries about that. Like, when it comes down to the money side of it, she goes after that. When you're here on the trade, you look after the customer. That's it. You show up, you do the job, and when we leave, you clean up and you make it look like the job just got done without us even being there. You know what I mean? That's all I want from you.
Right? What's the attitude of a tradesperson that's just getting into the industry being paid on a Friday instead of being paid on a Monday? What changes in that attitude?
I think when you're paid, like when you have to wait that whole week for your pay, with some people,
resentment.
Like, yeah. So I want to clear that shit up right away.
Yeah.
And basically, like, I'll be honest with you. So when we first started, so when, if we go away on vacation, we make sure we, like if we went away on vacation, we make sure Matt's paid before we go away. Because I don't want him to wait till I have to come back on vacation.
Or if I go on vacation.
Yeah, if he goes on vacation. They're always
like, oh, well, you can come in and get it.
Yeah, like if he went on, if he was going away on Monday or whatever, Jill will have his check on Friday. Like, I'll call her up as we're going back to the, we're going back on Friday. I'll be like, this is the hours or whatever. She'll do his check right then and there so he has it for his vacation. You know what I mean? We don't want you to ever have to, you know what I mean?
You want to spend energy on figuring out what the scope of work is involved for that week.
We don't like to worry about our money either. So it's like, if you don't want to worry about your money, why would you make somebody else do that?
It's the carrot bullshit.
You know what I mean?
It's like you're just dangling like, this stuff.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong. I love money. Everybody loves money.
Yeah.
Of course. But when it consumes you and that's the only reason why you're doing something,
you're missing other opportunities. Yeah,
you're missing the whole picture of it, the whole big picture. So
you gotta, okay, why didn't you, I guess you never went the apprentice or the I guess now there's all these schools out, or these so-called schools out,
yeah,
for pre-apprenticeship programs. And
I didn't, never did a pre-apprenticeship.
But a lot of kids are doing it now and they're getting fuck all knowledge out of it, right?
Yeah, so I don't know what I'm allowed to say here, but I'll
say
it.
You're allowed to say whatever you want to say.
I'll say it anyway. I don't give a fuck. People are paying. So I had this kid come up and he's like,
proudly saying
he did this pre-apprenticeship for $12,000.
Yeah.
So, and I said, what I usually do, I threw a fluke tester on my desk. And there was a plug and a switch there. And I'm like, show me where you'd measure this, blah, blah, blah. And he shows me. And I'm like, good. I'm like, hey, now show me where you do resistance. And he's like, they didn't get that far. I'm like, what do you mean they didn't get that far? I go,
part of the meter.
This is the first thing you should have been learned about. Like, you should learn about a meter the first, very first day, because this is what's going to tell you what you're looking at.
Save your life.
We're working in an industry where the energy you're working with is invisible. This is what shows you. It actually shows the electricity. You know what I mean? This is what the very first thing that, and I'm like, they didn't show you? They gave you this, but they didn't show you it? Like, nope. And I'm like, they spend all this money, and I'm like, you'd be better off giving, you could have saved yourself $2,000, give me $10,000, come work with me for 6 months, I'll show you everything you need to know. You even asked Matt, I have a whiteboard in my truck, on my door, mounted to my door, and once in a while, I'm like, if it's something he's doing the very first time, I don't just want him knowing to do that. I want him to know why he did it. So I take him to the truck and I draw it out and I'm like, any questions?
Like a three-way switch or something?
Yeah,
like
a three-way switch. I draw it out. I explain how it works. And then I ask him to explain it back to me, because I don't want you to just to know why you're hooking something up because, oh, I'm hooking this red wire up because Pat told me to hook it up here. Why are you hooking it up?
That's the real value.
Yes. Yeah. I want you to know why you're doing it, so that if I'm not around, you can rationalize it in your head of why you're doing it. Have that inner voice in your head of like, and I've told him before, have that inner voice in your head of like, okay, I need a neutral here, so I'm going to connect this wire to this. I need this here. I need you to have that own inner voice, so that when you're doing it, you're not like, ba-doop, 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 ba-doop. Oh, oh.
It's true.
And that's what I think every employer wants for anybody in any trade. Like if you were setting tiles, you should explain to the guy why you're using certain thin set for certain reasons.
Why are you laying it out here?
Yeah, why are you doing it like this?
What's
you know
the
what
purpose,
I mean?
Everything.
Like, why you're doing it. Don't just tell a guy to do it.
So are you getting more, a lot of these kids showing up with the resume and this pre-apprenticeship kind of so-called diploma?
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. So I don't think I've never hired anybody with that. I've never once hired somebody.
And I mean, all the kids that are listening and you guys think that has value, just don't be offended if that employer takes it and uses it for rolling papers.
Yeah.
Right.
That's so one of the things I did a talk at a school, my daughter's high school, for her entrepreneurship class, I think last year or something like that.
How did that go?
You know what? Afterwards,
I think it went really well.
Afterwards, the teacher came out to the hallway and he was like, you were probably the only one that's ever been in here that they've listened to, because I actually swear. And you know what I mean? And at one point I said they were like, you know, how'd you do in school? And I'm like, see that kid that looks like he's fucking stoned out of his mind? I'm like, that was me in high school. I'm that kid. But I said
you
to him.
You were being honest.
And I said to him.
Yeah,
but
he's being real.
Yeah, and I said to him, don't discourage from the fact that you feel like when you're in high school, don't be discouraged the fact that, like, you don't know where Moscow is on in your geography test. Don't be discouraged because I was the kid that celebrated 53. Seriously, we're going to the Olive Garden because of that. You know what I mean? If I got 53, my dad was like, yes, he made it. You know what I mean? When I got into electrical, I couldn't get below 90. If I tried, I was exempt from a code class because there was a code class. There was a code test I did. And the teacher was like, I've thrown this one test, this one question at the end of it. He goes, I've thrown this on for 8 years and nobody's ever got it. And the 1 year I was in, and then afterwards, I never said nothing to nobody, handed in a test, and then somebody said, did anybody get it? And the teacher begrudgingly went, yep, and pointed over at me. And as I was walking out, he goes, how'd you find that anyways? And I'm like, to be honest with you, my code book's in the shitter. I've always, like, my whole apprenticeship, I had my code book sitting right by my shitter.
Yeah.
So whenever I was in there, I'd be reading stuff, and I just remembered when he said, what's the purpose of a ground counterpoise? I'm like, airports. So I went right to the airports section, and I'm like, there it is. Wrote it down on the test, and a test. And then I told him, I'm like, you'll see me here tomorrow, though. Because he said we were exempt from the class. I'm like, you'll see me here tomorrow. You're not giving me shit.
So where's Moscow? No, the point is that you found your path.
Yeah.
As simple as that. And I agree with you about the education system.
Right? And I think, in honesty, I think we should, I don't really know how I'm saying it, but I think the government should step in and basically be like, we're educating a lot of kids that are wasting their time. Like, we're wasting their time. We're wasting our tax dollars. We're wasting a lot of stuff on education that they're never going to use.
Yeah.
We should have a program that, like,
education that you could actually surf and find when you do need it.
Yeah.
If you ever do need it one day, right?
You know what I mean? It'd be better off if some kid came up with you to build walls, or, you know what I mean, or do this, or like, so if those kids were given the opportunity to come out with real people and learn. And at one point in this, in our history, that's the way it was. If your dad was a blacksmith, guess what you're doing?
Saturday, old enough, tall enough, strong enough, you came.
And that's what you were doing.
And that's what you did. It wasn't considered child labor at that time.
You know?
It was pre-apprenticeship.
I think a lot of kids who go to the pre-apprenticeship school think they're going to come out with a guaranteed job,
too. Well, going back to the marketing.
Yeah.
They're marketing
that way. I've been seeing ads on my Instagram saying, get your electrical degree online.
That's impossible.
It's been showing up on my Instagram.
I did it in a weekend at Home Depot.
I kid you not. Now, I think when you click the link, it's different than what they're telling you at first sight to bring you onto it.
Yeah, they're catfishing you, man.
Yeah.
It's like they're just tagging you in there.
Yeah.
That's not really smart.
Yeah. Mm.
You don't want these kids.
Yeah.
You'd rather have somebody like yourself telling them the truth so they can listen. Simple as that.
The best thing that ever happened to me, I remember talking to you about this before we started the show, was the trouble you go through in life. You know what I mean? Like, where you have to start at the bottom.
Yeah.
And every time you go through something, you're going to grow. I would never trade that. My experiences through this trade, you can offer me anything. If you said to me at the beginning of the trade, I probably would have took you up on it. Okay, I'll give you a company and you'll have 50 guys under you and all you have to do is, and I probably would have been like, oh yeah, I'm going to pay like millions a year and just have these guys work for me. But now, knowing what I know now, if you offer me that, I'd be like, no, man, I'd take all those experiences that I have. You know what I mean? That's what's made me stronger.
That's exactly what's made you, and it's also prepared you, right? Like you were mentioning, yeah, that post just hit a nerve with a lot of people, man.
Yeah.
Young and old, experienced, not experienced, people getting in.
And what that creates, I think what that creates, and this is where I think a lot of kids, I can't call them kids, like, but I think a lot of the youth.
New guys.
Yeah, the new guys lack is one thing that I guess when you won't have your own kids, when you have life experience, you get empathy for people.
Yeah.
a lot of people, when they're young, they don't have empathy because they haven't been through life experience. You know, they haven't had kids yet. They haven't had mortgage payments. They haven't had, you know, two
struggles.
They haven't struggled in life. And that empathy is not there for when you're now, like when you're older and you're going to work for somebody. Let's just say I was coming to work for your house, right? I'm going to assume that you work just as hard for your money as I did. You know what I mean? So that respect is there. That respect should be there. You know what I mean? And I'm just going to assume, like, because you made your money one of two ways. You worked really hard for it, or you sold crack. I don't know. I'm going to assume until I see you on the corner, I'm going to assume you worked really hard for it. And I'm going to work really hard for it. If you hire me, I'm going to work really hard for you because I'm going to respect your bank account. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Are you also part of your teachings regarding getting him into the trade is also educating him about life in general and business tactics and just always considering these kinds of avenues? Like, don't be looking at a $100,000 Ford Raptor as your first vehicle mentality. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like one of the things, like, we are working together. We work together every single day. I think I spend more time with him than I spend with anybody else.
Yeah.
And anybody that, like, works a trade and you have a partner going, you know what I mean? You have an apprentice or whatever.
Yeah.
It becomes like a marriage, right?
Yeah.
So there's always those conversations we have in the truck about, like, life in general, like, you know, about.
Plus you got an opportunity with a wealth of knowledge.
Yeah.
Outside of electrical too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can ask him where Moscow is.
Like that, right? I'd love to know.
You know what? We're going to be in the truck. He's like, where's Moscow?
But no, that's what I mean. And you see it as a total plus. It's not only that you're learning the trade, but you're also learning other things as well, right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's like, I mean, I think we can both learn stuff from each other. Totally. Even though I'm young and everything, like, you know, we always have talks about life and, you know, about how your attitude should be and the way to progress. And yeah, we just bounce it off of each other. And
yeah.
What's with your generation being so tethered to the devices?
I think it's just growing up with it.
You guys are the first, like, we're the last that transitioned.
Yeah.
But you guys are the first that it's fully.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't think I have too much of a connection. Like, my phone's dead right now. It's not even on.
But you're not devastated. You're not sweating. You're not, like, jonesing. No. Chomping at the, you know?
Yeah. I mean, maybe Pat thinks I do sometimes, but.
First guy that I've ever had work in here that asked to go use his phone. It's the weirdest shit, dude. He's like, hey, can I go make a phone call? I'm like, just go make the phone call. Like, you don't have to put up your hand. You know what I mean? Just go make the phone
call. But that's not the norm. That's why you're
shocked. I know. That's why I'm like, I would tell everybody, like, when Matt said earlier, he's not here for the money. There's little things that he does that he's here to learn this trade. He knows that by all of, like, learning a 1,000 little details, That'll get him everything he wants in life. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
So what are you planning now that you start learning? Obviously, you're going down the route. You're going to get your license, right, eventually? Yep. That's basically the plan, right?
Yeah.
So how far out are you from getting your license now? What's the procedure here?
17 years.
Yeah. No, I still have to do two more semesters of school.
Okay.
And then I think I have to wait, like, another year or something.
No, you can write. You'll be able to write, right? And I did it for another guy. I wrote a letter saying he was competent. They cut 1,500 hours off.
Okay.
And you can write early. I did it for another guy.
Okay.
But yeah, he has to work another 3 years before he gets his master's. And then he can decide wants to go on his own.
Or just keep on working together or start another division or whatever you figure out, right?
Yeah. Dude, by that time, I'm going to be old, man. I'm not going to
work. You'll be tapping out?
Yeah.
Going back to career day at school? Telling them the truth about other trades?
Yeah.
Do it that way, right?
But now they're doing the where you have to go to 4 semesters instead of 3 at school.
So why do they do that?
Yeah. They're adding in a whole new, like,
what's the reason?
Solar, I think they're adding in, and then they're adding in, like, a knots tying course.
Yeah, rigging and stuff like that, yeah.
So instead of a 3 school semesters, you got to go to 4 now. So yeah. It's extra time. But
you don't have to do that.
Well, it depends. This is my group who went in. We were the last group who got to do the three semesters. So if somebody in your group fails one semester or something, now you have to restart.
The whole group?
Not the whole group, just okay. The individual just the person. Individual. Okay. No, I'm just saying that now it's like that. So
looking back when you guys started and now you're on your way, do you realize that as a tradesperson, you could be looking at a certain price point homes in the future that are realistic, and you could be looking at a certain price point for a vehicle or vacations or opportunities? Like, you could start building a life, right?
Yeah.
You could see it. Like, you can connect the dots now.
Yeah.
Versus, I guess, back then when it was in high school and guidance counselors and they're talking about, forget about these trades.
Well, decisions. It was never about the, like, they never talked bad about the money that you'd make or anything. It wasn't like, oh, you weren't going to make money if you go into these trades. It was more like, I don't know, just the misconception that the stupid people or whatever would go into the trades, right? Like, all those kids out front who are smokers and stuff.
I'm pretty sure there's a bunch of guidance counselors that were smoking out front.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, that was just the misconception. Like, I always thought, like, you know, that wasn't the type of kids that I hung around with. But now, most of my friends are in the trade coming out of high school after. They've gone to college, they've dropped out or whatever. They didn't pursue the career they were looking for through school, and they've gotten into the trades now.
Is it by deflection? Is it like our parents project that shit onto us? Like, my parents never did that.
Like, did what?
Like, they projected on what they wanted you to become.
Mm. That's what my dad did. My
totally?
Yeah. They didn't want me in the trade. They didn't want me in the trade at all.
But they were projecting you into the corporate world. But you gave that a shot, and then you left.
I gave it. Like,
Pantene wasn't working for you.
From a very young age, though, I knew, like, people would look up to, like, Superman, Batman, all this. I'd look up to blue-collar, like, guys that worked at Ford. You know what I mean? The blue collar guys. I'd look up to them.
Technically speaking, Batman and Superman are tradespeople because they have utility belts, man.
That is true.
Just saying, right? But yeah. It's no different. I've always said that even athletes, uniform, team, superheroes, tradespeople, it's all the same kind of type of person. You know what I mean? So, but
I just always looked at the blue collar guys, and I always had an image of myself where I was a very scrawny kid. Like, when I was younger, my arms were like that pencil right there. You know what I mean? And then it was just, I guess it was working with the Italians. It was like, eat all the time.
Mind you.
And then I tell everybody, I'm like, just working the trade. The fact that I never dropped the tools to build a company, that I always worked the tools, and I'm like, and I always like, there was times where I would go work by myself for a while, and I'd have to figure out how to like hook up like a metering cabinet by myself, or hook up a 600 volt switch by myself. You know what I mean? Like, I'd have to figure all that out. So it's come to like bull work. I remember my wife's got a video of me pulling a generator off a truck by myself. You know what I mean? And then
that's not good, Pat.
Like, and then dragging
one
it.
One little tweak, and then
the gone.
Everything, right? Yeah.
So, but like, it just, now we have I have a generator card now. So, but like, I look at that. I didn't even know where I was going with this.
Scrawny and
I guess
the perception of trades at the time.
But when I was a kid, I wanted to be. I looked at guys that were stockier, and I'm like, I want to be big. I want to be a badass. And it was just like through the trade. It was like one day, I stopped. I never had tats below my arms and stuff like below my sleeve. I didn't have a beard or nothing like that. I had it knocked down a bit, like it knocked down. And then one day I was like, fuck it, I don't care. I grew up my beard. I got tats. I'm like, and I realized at one point, I'm like, okay, I'm that guy now. You know what I mean?
So, I guess the difference between like big thugs, mafia thugs, and tradespeople is just the difference in tool belt, I guess.
Probably.
And how we make
money. I know exactly what you're saying. Like, totally how kind of man's man, kind of burly, kind of tough guy kind of thing. That's the image of a tradesperson. But that's not what the image of a tradesperson is today. It's not.
No.
Like, I don't think that's the case of it anymore, right?
No.
I'll give you an example. The movie Money Pit. You remember that? Tom Hanks?
Tom Hanks, yeah.
Yeah, when all the tradespeople showed up, it was all muscle-bound meatheads that were all rolling in there, right? That's what it was. And then the scrawnier guys were the jokesters, right? But that's the perception, and that's back in the 80s. But today, that's not the case, man. Anybody could be a tradesperson today.
Yeah, like today, like they're because of, like, I think because of social media, people are trying to, like, make it, they're always trying to, like, put the new tool out.
Make it glamorous.
Like, make it glamorous and make it, like, put new outfits. Like, oh, I wear this to work. I have this tool belt. You know what I mean?
How important is that to you?
What, new tools? And
yeah, all that crap.
I mean, at the I showed up on my first day with, like, this rinky-dink Toys R Us tools. And then he's like, yeah, throw those away. You don't need them.
Yeah.
And then, but I mean, like,
Matt doesn't fall for all the shit that's going on, like when, you know, Milwaukee has this big influencer thing or whatever. He doesn't fall for any of that shit. Like, he gets what he needs and that's about it. You know what I mean? He gets what he needs. He's very, I think it's probably because of the family he's from and the way his dad is. He's very conservative when it comes to like, oh, I don't need that just because so-and-so was on Instagram.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Oh, they have the new Martinez hammer. I'm going to go, I'm more like that than he is. You know what
but
I mean?
But also he can afford to do that now. So right? A lot of people my age probably have, like, they don't have a saving problem. They have a spending problem. They
but it's spend keeping up with much. The cool kids, right?
Yeah, keeping up with the Joneses.
Yeah, that kind of bullshit.
Yeah, I know.
But is that marketing actually help? Like, is that marketing working, I say?
For people my
age? If they present it, yeah, for your generation coming into the industry, and they're presenting all these cool new ideas, tools, or whatever it is, are you drinking the Kool-Aid and go, yeah, I totally need that because it'll make me a better electrician?
Me, no.
But the majority,
I'm sure the majority of people, yeah. Yeah.
I see it, too. I totally see it. They're buying into that shit, but it doesn't. And then a month or whatever, a year later, they're not using that tool anymore. But it was marketed correctly.
Yep.
Like, I have, like, a big, and my wife will attest to this, like, I have a big problem when it's just, like, I can't go into a hard, like, Saga Hardware.
You gotta buy it.
I ain't walking out of there unless I spend at the very, you know, there's a minimum where I have to spend or I don't feel right about myself. You know what I mean? It's just like you're looking at the guys behind the counter and they're like, you know, spend more. And I'm like, yeah, I will.
You're seeing, you know, like a neon sign over his head. Spend more. Spend more.
So, but like, I say that and I'm like, I have this tool collection. I have a big tool. I have like probably three tool collections. You know what I mean? And, but I'm going to be honest with you, man. You give me a multi and a freaking pair of needle nose, I'm good.
You'll figure out everything.
I carry a knife right here and I'm like.
So what's the need about all the other stuff?
Why don't know.
Why do you just need it?
I don't know.
You just want it? There's some guys who keep the stuff in the boxes still, and it's got dust on the box.
So a couple of years ago, I was going down to meet my brother at a Jays game, okay? Because he was just flew into town, so he's like, we're going to a Jays game. As I was going down there, don't I stop into Atlas Tools to buy a Martinez hammer? And I call my wife up, and she's like, do you need a $400 hammer? I'm like,
no, he was $500.
Nobody needs a 400. Like, why does an electrician need a $400? Nobody needs it. I just wanted it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know why I wanted it. It's just.
Are you still using that same hammer?
I still have it, yeah.
You still have it, then?
What about your tool belt? How old is that?
My tool belt?
Yeah.
Your pouch.
Is it not that old, or?
No. Huh. I switched up. Like, I went from, I remember when I was an apprentice, I had a tool belt. I weighed it up. It's 21 pounds. And then, yeah, I weighed myself one day. And then now it's like I'm very minimalistic.
I haven't worn a tool belt the whole time I've been working with Pat.
What are you wearing? Pouches?
I just have a Joey pouch. Yeah,
he has a Joey, like,
or the holsters.
Mississauga Hardware, they sell, like, this Joey pouch thing. And it's just, like, I don't even know who makes it. Holstery makes it.
Yeah. Okay.
They're really cool. And then, I don't know, they have two versions. They have a bigger one and a smaller one. I told him, like, I've always encouraged him not to wear a tool belt, like, because I'm turning 45 this year, and I was like, I went through the whole tool belt where they kind of like, my employers kind of like made it mandatory that you had to wear it. They never said it.
They wanted you to carry everything.
They never said it, but it was kind of like, if you didn't wear a tool belt, you weren't coming back to work.
Like most of the time, I'm only using like three tools when I'm working on something.
So why do you need a whole belt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, for barrettes or whatever, guys, all kinds of little things.
Yeah, but I got pockets, you know what I mean? Like, And the Joey pouch, if you have two of them, you can fill one up with Moretz and Staples just or whatever. Just get
workwear with pouches, the holsters on.
Like I told him, I'm like, just try to stay away from the whole tool belt thing. I wear it sometimes when I'm roughing in. We're roughing in something. But other than that, no, I don't, you know. But and I just wear it because I want my hammer here. I want my measuring tape here. I want certain things on me. Mm-hmm. When I'm, and usually if we do a roughing for something, he's usually pulling wire. I'm not. I'm cutting in behind him and stuff like that. But, yeah, I try to encourage a lot of people, like, stay away from the pouch thing because, man, for years, like hip problems, you'll get back problems.
Speaking from the guy who almost damaged a Ferrari.
Yeah, I know.
Because you weren't wearing a pouch. No, but I do agree with you. That's the number one reason why I would say stay away from the pouches, because sometimes it just hurts
belts,
me.
You mean?
Yeah, the whole thing. Yeah. I mean, occasionally I'll see them with the suspenders and I'm like, that's a little saving grace there. Mm-hmm. But it's the framers. When I see the framers with like 15 pouches coming straight out, it's like you're not building stairs here. Yeah. Like you're carrying certain material that you might not necessarily always need.
Yep.
And that's actually taking a toll on the lower part of your back, which is really going to take a toll in your 40s, man.
There's some people online that I see their tool belts and I'm like, my back's hurting now just by watching you.
I know. So if you can streamline your how you work, be more efficient, it's great. Wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you have to figure that out.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of that comes with knowledge, right? Like
experience. Yeah.
Experience, knowledge, and that's why we're talking, like, you can't start at the top, right?
I mean, Pat also gives away a lot of his tools. Like if there's someone,
what do you mean? The other guy, you gave him,
no, not like that, but just like you've given me a few tools. He's gotten me a few tools, a bag, everything.
Can you edit this part out? Because my wife hears this shit.
No,
I'm going to buy.
Because he give it to you, so then he can go to the Mississauga Harbor and you can buy another one.
Right? Yeah, he tells his wife that he lost the tool. No, I remember there was a guy who came up who was trying to get a job and you gave him like a pen tester or something, or a plug-in tester.
Well, he was using a chintzy little friggin' soldering iron thing for a plug tester. So I'm like, stop using that. Here's a plug tester. And I just went to go grab another one.
Just little things like that. His initials are on
your tools or what?
He was a young kid. He was a young guy though. You know what I mean? At some point when you, and I would tell this, honestly, I would shame every freaking trades guy into this. At some point, you got to look at yourself and you got to be like, I made it. Start fucking helping out everybody. You know what I mean?
Isn't that totally what happened with you at the beginning of your business? Some guy?
Yeah. Like when I remember when I
pay first, it back, man.
When I seriously first started, I remember Bill Hood, Beaver Crest Electrical, he came up to me. He was like, I'm getting out of this. He basically gave me a shit ton of supplies to stock my truck up with. I'm like, guys did that for me, so you should be doing that for other people. You know what I mean?
I got a funny story. There was a guy, I can't remember who was on the show or if it was off the show. He was switching a bunch of, or he was retiring, I can't remember exactly, and he wanted to give away all of his tools, all of his power tools. Problem is that it was all corded. Nobody bought it. Nobody wanted it. Nobody cared for it. And he was shocked that the younger generation didn't want any of these corded tools.
Just for the cord, because of the cord.
They were all good working corded tools.
Yeah.
Well, it's a battery mindset these days, right?
Everybody wants a battery, right?
Whatever battery.
I think I just got rid of my last cord. Like, I think our heat gun is the only corded tool.
Yep.
I still like corded
tools. In a vacuum.
We should get
like a Dyson, though. That'd be great.
We have the vacuum.
A Dyson?
Well, just something you can recharge.
Why don't you just get Dyson's got that floor one now, that robot thing.
Something that you don't need
What's
to plug in.
What's the price tag is that? Is that tickling $1,000 for that stupid thing?
I don't know. I don't think
it's worth it. Dyson's just get a stupid-ass loud shop vac that's got a nozzle that's big enough to be in a Dune movie or something like that and just fucking suck everything in.
Yeah, I have like two... I only carry one. I have a little compact shop vac. That's about it. That's all you need. You know what I mean?
But there's nothing wrong with corded tools, man. Like,
no, there's not. It's a lot better.
Well, by the time you guys are on site, there's power.
Yeah.
you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like there's power there. Plug it in. But nobody wants to plug it in, right?
One tool that I don't think Pat will ever get. But maybe he will one day.
Which one is that?
The staple gun.
For fuck's sakes.
Everybody jumped on that train fast.
Everybody did. And I'm like, I have a cordless stapler already. It's a fucking M4 hammer. You know what I mean?
So which one's better, DeWalt or Milwaukee's?
What's that?
The stapler. The
I've cord. Never used one.
Never used one?
Never.
No. There's lots of guys who live by
never
it.
Never used one.
And I guess my question is, how much are the staples? Are like they just say this.
Apparently it's they're grace. Pretty they're pretty close to the same price.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
So I've heard, but I haven't.
But all the cool kids, I go back to all the cool kids. They all
okay.
Want it.
So also too, like let's just say you have two studs that are like this far apart. How are you getting that in there? You know what I mean?
You can shoot it on an angle, I think.
Okay, stop it.
But you still have to tap it.
Yeah.
On an angle.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't
know. So you're still bringing out the original cordless to tap it.
Mm-hmm.
It's done.
I would never buy one.
Never buy one, eh?
No.
But there's some teachers at trade school who like all preach about the new stuff, and they say like if your boss isn't getting with the new age, then they need to hurry up and get there, like backstabbing plugs and
yeah,
the nail guns and everything. I don't know.
Well, tell the teachers to like pay attention that there's you can still build things a certain way. You don't need all the new tools, right?
Yep.
If it helps your physical, sure, I understand that. Like that crane. Holding the SDS and shit like that. You know, that harness.
Have you tried that?
I haven't tried it.
Yeah,
it really. Just looks like it's going to hurt my lower back. That's all it looks like. It looks like your weight, the weight of the tool is going to be on your lower
back. Seems like the process for setting that thing up is just takes way too long. I don't know.
I'll go back to another story with like one of the first jobs I ever did where it's like we had to break up the concrete. Plumbers came in, right? So we had to break up the concrete to run the new drain lines and everything like that. And I just assumed that the crew that came in was going to start pulling out an SDS and just start hammering. No, man. 60-year-old guy comes in with a sledgehammer, breaks it up in seconds.
Yep.
And I'm like, the guy would have still been putting the harness on.
Yeah.
That's trade strength, too. Like you can have a guy who's jacked in the gym, who works out every day, and then comes to here, they won't be able to lift what you can lift.
I know.
It's crazy.
You got to explain that to certain generation, some certain tradespeople too, right?
Yeah.
They don't get it. Just because you're pumping this much on the barbell and plate weight doesn't mean that you can handle this tool or this scope or whatever it is, right? It's different. It's different exercise, right?
Yeah. But I always encourage, like, I wouldn't discourage people from going to the gym. I highly encourage.
No, I think you should stay active for the rest of your
days,
man.
And also, if you are going to the, like I was telling Matt before, you go to the gym and try to, like, picture how you work. Like, if you're pushing wire, try to actually do something at the gym that's like that.
Good point.
And then it'll become easier during your day. You know what I mean? So stuff that you actually physically do during your day, try to work that. You know what I mean? Like, as an electrician, you're basically kneeling down on plugs all the time. Go do a lot of lunges.
Also shoulders. Like, you're always overhead working up movements, here. I know. I always have to go like this. Okay.
Yeah.
And then keep on going.
And your shoulders are just in pain. I know. Yeah. It makes a lot of sense.
But yeah, I...
Can you imagine if all the trades were going into the gym and you start seeing all and they're all working their key points?
And you can look at them. You can look at them and be like...
Oh, plumber.
Tiles? You can just like just build a house by using guys at the gym.
You're working the trades, right?
Yeah.
How'd you know the way you're doing those lunges, man? Yeah.
Forming? You doing forming?
I love going to the gym after work and like just seeing everybody come into the gym and like, I don't know, their gym clothes and I'm showing up in my work clothes, like with work boots on and everything.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with it.
You prefer going to the gym after the work day or before the work day?
After.
What time you get up in the morning? You realize you got to wake up early because of electrical. What time do you start your day?
We start, people are going to hear this and be like, you guys are pants.
You can lie.
No, we start at 8 o'clock.
You're on site at 8 or you're...
We're leaving the driveway at 8.
Okay.
Okay. So I would tell people, and a lot of people, when I talk to you, they're like, yeah, I'm up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm doing invoices and stuff like that. And I'm like, yeah, I'm fucking not. I get up at 7 and I make my breakfast and I sit there and I play Wordle. And then I get my ass out to the driveway.
What time are you wrapping the day up?
What's that?
What time are you wrapping the day up?
Different every day.
So this is where...
Depends on scope.
This is where people would be like...
When the job's done.
Yeah. You wake up at 7? I'm like, yes. But most nights, I might still be at work at 9 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night. But usually I'll go home for a bit. And then if I get called out again and stuff like that on an emergency, you know. I've always tried never to, if I get called out, I've always tried to go do it myself, though. I don't expect anybody else to come out with me. You know what I mean?
But you don't want them to learn?
No, it's not that. It's just I'm a firm believer right now. Like, I used to never be like this. I used to be like, yeah, work till you die, and stuff like that. But I'm like, now I'm just like, don't get into that mind. There is much more to life than working, especially after my three kids. I'm now in my life trying to make up for when they were growing up. I'm trying now to my hardest. Yeah, and then I'm also trying, like, even my own, like, take care of your health, because I'm trying, like, there's, like, an old Buddhist saying, like, you'll spend all your health trying to accumulate your wealth, and then you'll spend all your wealth trying to get back your health, right? That's what the phase I'm at right now. I'm trying to get back, you know what I mean, to where I was physically, because I spent all my time working, you know what I mean? I feel more normal when I'm at work. It's a sad thing to say. And I hope my kids don't hear that. I hope my wife doesn't hear that and think, like, you feel more normal. I just remember when my dad came home. It was shortly after my mom died. My dad came home, and he was drinking and stuff like that. And then he starts spilling it out to me. And I hope my dad doesn't hear this. But he was telling me,
I'm never going to post this show.
No, but I don't think he would. He was telling me how he was an alcoholic. And I'm like, but you don't need alcohol. You don't drink to go to work. He goes, no, Pat, I drink to come home. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. And then I think about it. I'm like, I don't drink, but I do work. Like, I took that drinking and then I made it into work so that I feel more normal. When I'm on a job site with a bunch of dudes and we're trying to figure out a project and stuff like that, I'm alive. Like, I feel alive. Like,
yeah.
That camaraderie, that, like, if we're all having coffees, we're trying to figure out a problem and, like, you know, how do we get this to work out and stuff like that? And everybody's throwing in their 2 cents. And then, you know what I mean?
That's what you feed off of.
That's where I'm like, you know what I mean? Like, you get me on a construction site with a bunch of dudes and we're all fucking making jokes with each other and stuff like that. I love that shit.
But I also tell a lot of the younger trades, like, don't get consumed by the construction life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As much as this show is about the construction life, you got still a personal life.
Yeah.
It has, I think, in my opinion, more value than the construction life.
Pat does a great job at respecting, like,
the balance.
And that's, I think, also one of the reasons why he doesn't expect someone. He's not going to call you after hours to come out, because he knows that you have your own personal life. You got a family or whatever it is that you're doing. So he respects that very much.
And this year, I'm actually started last year, but this year I'm trying to, like, I just want to get my work done. Like, no more. I don't want to work weekends anymore. Like, I just...
You're still doing, like, 6 days or 7 days?
Well, right now, we don't work. Because of the construction industry right now, yeah, we just don't really need to work on the weekends. But I just don't want to work. I don't even want to answer my phone on the weekend. It's just like, dude, Monday to Friday, and that's it, man. You know what I mean? I used to work seven... There was a time where it was, like, 7 days a week.
Can't do it.
And I did that for, what, 9 years? Maybe 10 years?
You're
going to
burn out mentally and physically. You're going to burn out.
It wasn't so much the burnout. That never occurred to me. It wasn't so much the burnout. It was the toll that it took on my marriage. It was the toll that it took on me being a father.
Well, it's the invisible toll. See, that's the thing, is that you're not even realizing it, but there's other people around you that are totally seeing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you gotta be careful.
And then it's like when you're not at work, when you're supposed to be at home, like, I guess every trades guy does this. Like, if I go out for dinner, the first thing I'm doing, I'm looking at the ceiling and stuff like that. You know what I mean? I guess every trade, I don't know, like...
You go on vacation, we all do it.
Yeah, we all...
You almost smell for a job site.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Yeah.
I smell concrete. Something's going on around here, right? Like, where there's concrete, there's framing. Where there's framing, there's electrical. Simple as that. We'll find it, right?
Yeah. It's just like, but I'm now trying to get it to the point in my life where I need more. I remember talking about this on the last show, work-life balance.
Yeah.
And I want that. I want that more than anything, more than I ever
wanted. Sure the missus wants it too.
Yeah.
Positive they want it. How old are the kids?
18. This year will be 18, 16, and 14.
So they're grown up.
So.
They're getting there, right?
Yeah.
So here's an interesting question for both of you guys. 20 years into the future, where are you at?
Pat's working for me.
I can see that.
No, I don't know. Wherever it takes us, but I'd love to be working with Pat still.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Learning new tricks from other people or no? Just want to keep on learning tricks from?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But you'll learn from other people just from conversing with them through either online, the good part of online.
Mm-hmm. Matt will have his own company.
Probably.
He will.
Probably, right?
You can just tell. You can, if you worked with him every day, you can tell that he'll have his own company. And I'll help him get it. Whatever he needs, I'll help him get it.
Where are you going to be?
Probably riding a horse somewhere. I don't know.
Somewhere in America?
Riding a horse? I've been on a horse once in my life.
Yeah.
I prefer motorcycles.
I don't know. I just, the past couple of years, I've been getting into like the horse world with my daughter and stuff like that. So
she wants to?
She rides competitively. So
wow.
Yeah. So we actually just sold one of our horses. We actually just sold, which, you know, now we're down to one. So
that's the one thing that's like, it's consuming money because it's consuming.
Yeah.
It eats and that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. They're just, they regurgitate money. You know what I mean? But yeah, it's just something I see myself in. If I've already talked to my wife, like later on down the line, I just want to, I don't know, get away. If I ever get away from electrical, I'd probably get into like horse hauling or something like that. Enjoy the, you know what I mean?
And so one day we could hear, here comes Davidson's electrical. It's by a nose. One day, maybe we'll see.
That would be awesome.
But it's just something that, you know, she got into it. And then, you know, most of our summers now are just consumed by horse shows.
That's awesome.
You know what I mean? So.
You the only electrician there? Probably.
Pretty much. So what?
He saved a horse one time.
What's that?
What? He
saved a horse.
Yeah, we were at a horse show. Well, so we were at a horse show, and then there was one horse that started flipping out. It was tied to the thing, and I always carry a knife on me. So I just walked up, and everybody was running away from it. I just walked up and cut it free, and you know what I mean? And
it then, just tangled itself in something?
Well, she had her head up, and then one of the girls there, she was a vet, and she was like, if you didn't cut that away, that horse would have broke its neck. Mm. So I'm like, whatever, you know what I mean?
Wow.
So... But yeah, it's just like one of the things I'm like, because of that work mentality, I'm always wanting to do something when I'm at the horse show. So I'm always like, you know what I mean? Everybody's got generators on their trailers. A lot of people get generators on their trailers. So this year I was thinking about making a sign up, like generator maintenance. Like while I'm there, I can be doing something, right?
You could be watching your daughter, or you could be watching
there's a lot of downtime there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, because she's not showing the entire time. It's just like, there's a lot of downtime, so I could be, you know, making some money, because the world's not cheap, you know what I mean? Doing this is not cheap, so if I can make up a couple extra bucks while I'm there, right?
Makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. So.
Probably will happen. Let it happen.
I have no idea.
We were talking about the future. 20 years from now, you'll be working for him. You'll teach him how to start his business. He'll do that, and you'll be doing the horses.
That's one thing I kind of would appreciate, though, like, is because I've kind of trained a few guys, if they had their own companies or whatever, instead of me going to look for work, I'll just call these guys up and be like, hey, do you need... Because me and my wife, one day, we want to just trailer around and stuff like that. I'll come back here. Maybe, like, Matt has his own company. Hey, Matt, you got some work for a month?
Just to tinker.
Yeah, just tinker around. I'm like, you know, I don't... There was a time in my life where I wanted to build a big company, but that kind of was fleeting really
quickly. Why didn't you go that route? Like, that's almost the hungriness of the younger tradespeople getting in. They're like, yeah, I want to have 12 vans. I want to have, like, so many crews and...
I could never let go of the fact that I love being on the tool. Like, I love being the guy that fixes it.
Because if you did build that, you'd be in the office all the time,
yeah,
just calling and talking.
So at one point we had, like, I think 5 or 6 guys. It was 5 or 6, and I'm like, and I was, I don't know, I was just trying to, like, go to job to job to job, and I was just like, I hated it. And I was just like, I wasn't doing anything. I was just, okay, now you got to go here, you got to go here, and then I would go quote out jobs, and I'm like, what am I, fucking estimator? You know what I mean? I'm like, I don't want to do this. So I went back to being just me and after that, we had one big job, one massive job on the go with that. Once I was done, I was just like, I just want to go back to just being me and an apprentice. And then I've noticed that the bottom of the profit didn't really change all that much. And that's what it becomes down to. A lot of people like, you know, build these companies, and I'm like, yeah, go for it. I don't give a fuck.
It's great. But experience. I'm like, learn.
But if you're making $10 million a year, but you're spending, you know, just shy of $10 million to do it, what are you doing? But if I made $150,000 a year and it cost me $10,000 to do it, who's more ahead?
I agree with you.
You know what I mean? So at that point, I had to look at it it became more about being efficient on a job to make. And I remember you on the last show, we were talking about the way I price stuff out, like what I charge and stuff like that. And maybe I'm too low or whatever, but I always looked at it as like, if I can get on a job and I'm cheaper, but I'm way more efficient, I'm making more than
more
that.
Money.
I will make more than
the
that.
The profit margin is better.
Yeah. That's what I've always looked at is like, how can we be more efficient on a job? You know what I mean?
I just did a great show with Ryan Bukowski there, and he was talking about the labor force. And a lot of the conversation was about becoming more efficient with the scope of work that you have to achieve. So if there's a tool or a technique, something that you can figure out as a tradesperson or a business owner that will make you do something faster for the same amount of like pay or whatever, mm-hmm. then you're more profitable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
Because now you can fit in three or four of those per day
instead
of doing two. That's how you become more profitable. I agree with you.
I think it's a pro for me too that Pat is just one. It's just me and him, because now I get all the learning time with the master electrician. Or
I know, but it's a little selfishness because I know it's the one-on-one ratio, right? And plumbers have the same problem as well too. But do you not feel that you could also handle two or maybe even three? Or is that like another two?
I would rather the ratio be one to two.
Okay.
But I see problems with that in the end because people abuse anything. People abuse that.
Yeah, so the laziness part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I would like it so that when Matt gets into his third year, that I could take on another first year. So he can actually help me with them too, right? Because the biggest problem that we face, that I face, is when somebody's first starting.
You can't leave him alone?
No. When somebody's first starting, when their first like couple months, happens with Matt, happens with everybody, I can't let go of the fact that they don't know what I know sometimes.
He forgets that he has 20 years experience. I got none.
I'm on chapter 24 right now. He's on chapter 2. And I'm always like, why don't you know my part of the story yet? But I don't. So if I had another guy come in, he can show him stuff and basically be like, don't get discouraged. You know what I mean? Pass on an asshole. He can just
binge watch.
Get it all up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I've always told him too, like if I'm coming down on you for something, it's because I don't want to fire you. You know what I mean? A lot of times too, if I don't really give a shit about it, I'll just freaking tell you not to come in. I just won't ask you to help me. But if I'm asking you to help me, if I'm coming down on you for something, if something you did or whatever, and I'm getting mad about it, it's because I really give a shit that you work here. Mm-hmm. I want you to work here. I enjoy working with you, right?
Yeah.
So
the majority of the time is spending with each other personality-wise.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? Like the work itself is a fraction compared to that.
Yes.
You got to get along.
That's one thing we're very fortunate that me and like our lifestyle is pretty much the same. Mm-hmm. We enjoy a lot of the same music. So the music is never, what we put on the radio is never an issue. And to be honest with you, after work, we have the same, like, we play squash together. You know what I mean?
Squash, so there's some days. Pickleball, tennis, like, whatever.
Like yesterday, we worked together all day, and then we went to go play squash together. You know what I mean? Like, we played pickleball, tennis, like, and it's just like, I don't know. I was very fortunate that way that I did, you know what I mean?
I think that's important, like, to jive with each other personally. It makes work easier, and it's just, I don't know, like, there's always ups and downs, and you're not going to be perfect every day,
You get along, it's going to last. That's valuable. It's going to be really interesting.
I remember Pat was saying, like, he told himself, I think, after when he was working on his own, like, you were like, I'm not going to be friends with another. And the next employee, I'm not going to be friends with or something like that. But it's not like, I don't know. It's kind of hard to not be friends with someone when you're working, when you're with them every day. And like, if you're going to work and you don't like the guy that you're with, you're not.
You don't
want
to go to work.
Why? Yeah. It's
that's as simple as that.
Yeah.
But it's going to be interesting when you bring on the next kid when it's ready for it. And you ask him, like, do you play squash? No. Do you ping pong? No. Bowl?
I hope he plays squash. Or whatever it is.
What do you do?
But I would like to see them switch up that ratio and then allow us to rest as one's progressing, allow one other one
staggered. To yeah, totally. Yeah, I love that. That makes 100%. A lot of sense because now we can start getting more and more people in there, right?
Yes. You would get more retention because, like,
yes.
Here's the thing too is like, and you can attest to this too. When you first got into the industry, you were probably, you probably were talked to in a way that you wouldn't talk to a kid today. You know what I mean?
Of course.
Move your fucking ass, you fucking cocksucker. You know what I mean?
Of course.
But like now, like
I've never sucked. Okay.
What? But you're gonna have a kid come in now. You can have that kid. You can have that third year actually be helping you to bring that kid along, and you know what I mean. And
we had like at the beginning where it was like that, where like we were kind of butting heads a bit because it was the old school versus the new school. You know what I mean? Coming in,
but the friction was only coming from the way the trade is done, not from the personality.
No, it was just in the way that it's, I don't know.
So we had a conversation. I remember what he's talking about. We had a conversation one time because it's the way I talk. So Matt knows that I will fuck around all day. I don't care. I'll joke around with you all day. But once it comes to the electrical and I'm talking to you about electrical.
Serious. Yeah.
I'm very serious about that. There's no room for
jokes
there. If I'm explaining to you the way I want something done, and the way I come across sometimes, I sound like an asshole and I sound like I'm really mean or whatever, but it's not that. It's just hierarchy of priorities with my life is protection. When I go to work, protection of your life is here. Mm-hmm. Protection of your property is here. Your budget's probably here. And how we feel about each other, I don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? But protection of your life is up here. Mm-hmm. So when I tell Matt, I want it done this way to this way to this way, you better do that. So if I come back and it's not done the way I want it done, and I'm not telling you the reason why I want it done like that is because I want to pull rank on you or swing my weight around. It's because I want that customer to get the 150% of our company, our attention to them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I want it to be a perfect job. Mm-hmm. So when we had, so I used to be like that, and then he wasn't getting, and he basically brought up to me.
He was kind of getting discouraged.
Yeah, he was getting discouraged. Yeah. And he was like he was going to leave. And I had a conversation with him. I'm like, and that's where I came up to him and said, if I come down on you, like, it's not because it's because I want you to get better.
Yeah.
It's not because I'm swinging my weight around. And I go, dude, you are getting better every day. You could see that. You know what I mean? But don't leave now because of how I'm acting. Mm-hmm. I go, if it's because of how I act and you leave, you're going to regret that. I go, if you want to leave and go somewhere better, sure. But don't leave just because I'm talking to you. Like,
and you guys had that conversation.
Oh, yeah. We had that conversation.
I brought it up, but I think you said, like, you're the first guy in whatever 20 years that has approached me like this.
Intimidation, man.
And it's like, you know, most kids would either, you know, suck it up, not say anything and whatever, or they'd quit and walk away.
Exactly.
Which is easy to do. Anyone can just walk away.
Yeah.
But to bring up a conversation with your boss that's uncomfortable is something that a lot of kids won't do. It's hard to do. I get nervous when I do it, but, you know,
you're looking at 20 plus whatever, 30, 40 years of experience compared to you just getting out of the gate, right?
Yeah, but those conversations are needed for people to be able to work well with each other and, you know, understand where they're coming from and how not everybody can be taught the same way, you know?
Do you guys think that, I mean, you're one of the rare ones, Pat, where it's like you want to stay on the tools as you even get older because you enjoy it. But the majority of us that are in the industry, as they get older, they want to get off the tools and just manage the business. But do you think that's at our core when we get started in the industry? Like, do you realize that, Matt, one day you are going to get off the tools, or you're going to be like Pat, where
I think I'm more fine with doing that off the tools than Pat would be. Mm. But
I don't know. Like, some days and my wife would tell you this, I don't know some days if it's not getting off the tools or if it's the social aspect of it. Mm. I'm going to be honest with you. Like, so if you had, if you had like Mikey here and another guy and my age. We'd be
into our fifth day of talking.
Dude, I can fucking sit here all day long and fucking drink coffee and talk shit all day long. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I could do that because that's the way I enjoy that. You know what I mean? So sometimes it's like when I'm on a construction site, I don't know if it's because of the social aspect. I remember going to a job site before, and there was all these old Italian guys, right? And they honestly looked like they had 1 foot in the fucking grave. That's how old they were. And I remember somebody saying to me one time when I was young, they're like, yeah, they just come here because it's like fucking high school reunion for them. And that's what it's like. Like, I'll see so-and-so on a job, and maybe I might see him like 5 months later, and I'll be like, hey, buddy, you know what I mean? Like, and we just got to shoot
the
shit.
You continue the same conversation was then.
Yeah, exactly.
All over again.
Exactly. I have guys that I worked high-rise with that if I see them at a supplier right now, it's like when I talk to them, it was like I was just talking to them 5 minutes ago on the phone. Mm. You know?
That's true. Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I think it's, I don't know if it's more of that or more of like, I don't know. I do like fixing shit too.
Maybe you got to start like Davidson's therapy, how to let go of the tools, something like that. YouTube channel or
his
something.
His dad actually bought me a book called Getting Off the Hamster Wheel.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah,
he bought me a book and he's like, because he's like, Pat, you got to like.
Did you read it?
I started reading. I think I read half of it. And then I'm like, I'll read the other half one day. Just
when you get off the wheel.
Yeah.
What are you learning then from the whole industry? What's one of the biggest lessons that you ever learned so far?
It's 1,000 details. I don't know.
Yeah.
Everything you do, you know, if you don't take pride in your work, then you might as well not be there. Because everything we do,
but everybody phones it in. That's the stigma. That's the stereotype.
What's the stereotype, sorry?
Like everyone they don't give a shit.
Yeah.
They just do enough to just get paid.
I mean, even if like I do something like, if my wire's not straight or something, I redo it. Get it straight. You know, like every little thing is something for Pat that he pushes on me to make our company name or his company name the best it can be, you know? And I also, yeah.
It's more so, it's not so much for the company. It's more so for the product that you're giving. Mm. You know what I mean? Getting back to that, if you have to assume that person works really hard for their money.
Mm-hmm.
And they're taking their trust and they're saying, hey, Pat, Matt, I trust that you're professionals here to get your shit done. And I'm not going to, you know what I mean? And I'm not going to hound you. It's like once they hound me, I'm like, fuck off. You know what I mean? Like, but like, as long as they leave me alone, I'll look at it as my money. I'll look at it as my house. You know what I mean? And I'll try not to, I hate cutting drywall, so I'll try not to ever cut drywall in their house. I'll try minimize the mess. We clean up when we leave. You know what I mean? Because you try to like, you know, you try to respect the fact that they work hard.
Yeah,
you know.
But the most, I mean, clients for the majority think that you guys are overpaid.
Yeah, there's a few. Yeah,
they just think that the trades are charging too much, but they don't realize that they're charging all that experience ahead of that price tag, right?
You know, like he says also, like everything you do should be able, you should be able to post on Instagram
or online. You should be able to post it online. Everything, any work you do, you should be able to post it with pride.
Basically, it should be done correctly to the point where you have nothing to hide from it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because you did it correctly.
Like if you do, especially like you, if you do a bathroom, you should be able to put that in a textbook and say,
of course,
that's the way it should be.
Yeah.
From start to finish, this is all our pictures. This is the way it should be. And everybody should look at that and be like, yeah, that's pretty much the way it should be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Everything you do should be like, you should be able to post it in a textbook and say, this is wiring right here. You know what I mean?
Another big one is like, the code is the bare minimum.
Yeah.
You can go above and beyond that. And that's something that a lot of people don't do, I don't think.
Are you getting inspectors telling you to start using cordless staples?
Cordless staple?
Yeah. Are they mentioning it? Staple gun?
I've never.
I'm just wondering if an inspector has come on.
If
getting,
an inspector is, if I got that conversation usually, like, I remember a supplier talking to me about the cordless stapler. I just walked away from it. I'm like, I don't want to.
In mid conversation,
it's like, just like, dude, you have a cordless stapler already. Like, you already had one, and you should go buy another one.
Is it just Milwaukee and DeWalt that came out with one? I don't think know.
So. That's all. I've only seen their.
I think Tampax came out with one too. I think they have their own. I'm pretty sure. There's a few guys that have it. you know.
I want to do a Photoshop post of that now.
Yeah. Do you know how many guys? You know how many guys are gonna DM me and be like, "You're an asshole. I have a stale." You know what I mean?
Pat, it's simple, man. Ignore it. I don't give a shit. I didn't get any hate from the influencer show because they know I don't give a shit about it. I don't care. Simple as that. Bob, unfortunately, is still getting some hate, but he's handling it very well because that's who he is. It doesn't matter. There's always gonna be people like that. I don't give a shit about that. Mm-hmm. Like, that's also you guys too. You got your whole generation coming in where they're feeding that machine. They see it as almost like a 50-50. Like 50% your social media person, and then you're 50% trades person, which technically should be you 100% trades person.
Yeah.
And by accident, I mean, someone's photographing me. It's not just
like a lot of, like, Pat loves the Instagram too, posting the photos and stuff and showing the work. I mean, yeah. It's not just my generation, and not me in general. Like, I don't really do that. I have lots of, electrical story on my actual Instagram with all the work that we've done, because, and I love it. Like, it's awesome posting your work and what you're doing. Yeah, it's cool.
What you did, what you're proud of.
Yeah.
Well, what was the difference between social media? You went home and told your loved ones. You told people that were in your circle of friends. You're having a pint or drink or whatever with somebody. You're like, oh, I wired this. I did this. You know, here you go. Maybe you pulled out a Polaroid and took a picture of it at that time.
Like, I go and show my girlfriend sometimes, and I'm like, she's like, what did you do today? I'm like, do you really want me to explain everything? Are you going to understand everything that I've done or not? But so
another reason why
showing her photos is a good one too. Yeah.
What else? That's it. I think that's it. I'm going to wrap it up soon or what? You guys want to share anything else?
What do you want to? I gave Matt, I told Matt, I'm like, before we came in here, I'm like, you get a pass on anything you say today. I'm like, so say whatever you want.
Oh, what do you mean? Like, he could say whatever the
fuck. He can say whatever the fuck he wants.
He can say anything negative or anything
positive? He can say anything.
Yeah, I had to.
We had a conversation before.
There's no filter. You can say whatever you want.
But I'm like, I go, when we're on the show, I'm like, if you, whatever you say about working, because he's working with basically the owner every day, right? And I'm like, that must get to you. And I'm like, at some point, like that
not
must.
Not if it's a good relationship.
But at some point, there's got to be certain parts about that where you're not going to like. And working with anybody every day, there's going to be certain points where you don't like about it, right? Yeah. And I go, don't let that deter you from saying anything just because we're on this podcast. So I'm like, don't hold back. I'm like,
does he ever drive the van?
No.
By purpose?
Insurance.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I got a ticket, and then the insurance company, I have to wait, like, not much longer. It shouldn't be much longer, but I got a ticket, and now the insurance company won't insure me for his company vehicle.
Yeah. They were just like, we are not insuring him at all. So.
But that ticket's almost coming up, so.
Should have fought the law.
Yeah. We did fight the law.
Yeah.
Okay, I got it.
So
we won't get into it. Don't
worry. Once that's done, yes, I would 100% would like,
because then you could be in the passenger side posting,
typing notes or whatever it is, making phone calls.
That's not why. I just I want to stay on the job.
Oh,
I want to stay on the job. Like, I don't want to go to the supplier. I don't want to go to here. I don't want to. I just want to be able to start keep working and be like, Matt, go get this, and this. And I'll stay here and do this.
There's an interesting question. So obviously, because that happens a lot. When I was bringing on some young people coming in and shadowing and working with me, you start taking them all to the suppliers. And basically they start realizing where your network is.
Yes.
They start learning that. But they also start learning, and I'm sure that you probably can attest to this, that you're seeing this, the relationships that someone who's established a business has built over time.
Yeah.
And the value of those relationships.
Yes.
Like, you can walk into your supplier a certain way, swagger, talk, and have key relationships with people that have such value to it, right?
Yeah.
That you haven't built yet.
When we go, it's like we're going to a grocery store. Like, we just walk in the back. Like, yep, we'll take that.
There's guys that, like, they'll perch out at the counter, and they'll just give them a list or whatever.
You guys.
We walk right past them. We go grab our stuff, and we basically, you know.
It's almost like we work with them. It's like, morning, gents. How's it going? Go get our
We know all their names, and it's material. Just like, you need to be like that, because there's sometimes, like, I might call you at 7 o'clock at night to come open up your, I very rarely do it, but, like, if I've called you maybe, like, 7, 9 o'clock at night, to go, I need a few 100-amp fuses. I need you to go in there But that's where that relationship comes in. And I've had suppliers be like, yeah, Pat, no problem, I'll be there.
Yeah, you had to build that with them, that trust between the two. No, not everybody can just walk to the back, right?
No, but you're coming in with him too, and you're seeing this dynamic that's been built over time, right? Yeah. Which is just him running a business and trust and relationship, right? So it's getting along, which is really valuable. That's another side of the whole thing that you don't even realize it until you're in it.
Yeah, so I would rather him be going to the supplier than me because, like, in the end of the day,
you think you're more valuable on the site.
I'm the talent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When I was getting into this, my dad said to me, he's like, you can hire anything out in your company you want, but you can't hire yourself out. You are the talent. You keep working. And, you know, and that's why I look at a lot of guys that get into, and I hope nobody gets offended by this, but like, I look
at, we're never airing this.
Yeah. I hope a lot of guys, you know, I see a lot of guys that get into a trade just because they want to build a business. And I'm like, there's far more successful things you can do with building a fucking trade company. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's so much more successful businesses you can do with doing that than doing this. So if you got into this, you got into a trade, like if Matt's getting into this trade just because he wants to have a company where he's like 20 guys under him.
Yeah.
Like there's so much easier. Like you got to go through a 5-year apprenticeship to do this shit.
A lot of work.
You know what I mean? So if you're the talent of the company.
Even more to be a master.
Yeah, you can just go hire a bookkeeper. You can go hire an office staff. You can hire anybody else you want. It's hard to hire a guy that's a trade. Like it's hard to hire a good tradesman.
The talent, like you said.
Yeah, like, but so I'm the talent. So when I have to leave the job, my customers aren't getting the full 100%. Because I'm there, and you know what? Like, I can't say that because I don't want to slight Matt for that. Mm-hmm. But if he runs into something that he hasn't seen yet, he's gonna automatically call me. I would just rather be there myself, to be honest with you. You know,
he's
more efficient than me.
But you want to learn. You want him to learn those moments too, right?
Yes,
those opportunities.
Yeah,
in due time.
But I just, and you know, I just see it as like. I want to be the most efficient that I can be on a job, right? So.
And now they're paying him whatever it is, $80 to go to the store when.
He should be on the tools.
Yeah.
After therapy. find these guys, Davidsons_electrical on IG. Reach out to him. His email is info@davidsonselectrical.ca, and then his website www.davidsonselectrical.ca, and the phone number to reach him to ask him any questions about plumbing, 416-859-1159. I'm fucking with you guys on the plumbing. So 12 questions. Ready? What is your favorite construction word?
Fuck.
Yeah.
Least favorite tool?
Cordless stapler.
Probably my hammer.
Construction sound you guys love?
You go, Pat. You get one.
Nothing like drilling an auger bit and getting it caught on a piece of wire.
No, probably the favorite. I just did that. My favorite construction sound probably is when I energize something and I hear a scream in the background. That's probably the best sounding. That's where I'm at the panel and be like.
I can't think of one.
A construction sound you love? Coffee truck? I don't know.
Yeah, that's great, yeah. Just listening to music while we're working away, I guess.
Favorite beverage?
Coffee.
Probably water.
No alcoholics lately. It's a shame. Curse word. Favorite curse word?
Fuck.
Favorite vehicle? Any mode of transportation?
F-150.
I don't have a favorite vehicle. Nothing? Something with four wheels that gets me to where I'm going.
You're rare, man. What do you guys miss from your childhood?
No responsibility.
Sunday barbecues. I remember when your parent, like during the summertime and you smelled the barbecue and you're out the street and stuff like that. That's what I miss the most.
That's nice. I remember those. Profession other than your own, would you guys like to attempt one day?
Barber.
Sorry?
Barber.
I thought you said Barbie for a second.
No, barber.
Let's clarify.
If I wasn't an electrician, I would have been a barber.
Anyways. A barber, really? Yep.
I can cut hair.
Wow.
He does a nice fade.
What about straight razor?
What's that?
Straight razor.
I've never done that. I've never done that
before. I'm meeting more and more guys that are specifically going to barbers to do straight razor shave once a week.
I bet you I could. I just never tried to use one. I bet you I could figure it out and stuff like that. But yeah, I do. Like, I cut my son's hair all the time. I've always used to cut my wife's hair, and you know what I mean? Yeah, not a lot of people do that about me. I just
color her hair too and everything?
I didn't color her hair, but okay, I would. Yeah. Like, if she asked me to, I would. It's just something I like about cutting people's hair. I don't know. I guess that's why I got into like cutting wires. I don't know. I just like
tools with your hands.
Cutting thing. Yeah. I don't know.
Makes sense. What's yours?
I'd probably be like in the NBA or something, try and play basketball.
What profession do you guys never want to do?
Plumbing.
Be honest with you,
nothing against plumbers. No. Love plumbers. I just don't like shit.
I think it's the one that I have a lot of respect for, roofing. Mm. Those guys, honestly, like, I've had to patch up some of my roofs sometimes. Just like
hard.
Yeah, it's hard. I give
hard in winter, hard in summer.
I give those a lot of respect, man.
Last question: if heaven exists, what would you guys like to hear God say when you arrive at those pearly gates?
You done good, kid.
I don't know. Welcome.
That's all he's going to say. Yeah. He's going to say whatever.
Yeah.
Pat, always a pleasure to see you. Thank you so much. Appreciate it, man. And thanks for bringing in the youngin'. He's got a good head on his shoulders, right?
So I appreciate coming. I appreciate coming back on here.
Yeah, thank you.
Come back anytime, guys, whenever's going on. So
Thank you so much.
We're done. Thanks, guys.